As we are making our way through the book of Acts, we're seeing the apostles taking the good news of Jesus to the Roman Empire. And they went into every town they went where there was a synagogue. They presented the truth. Now, Ephesus was the capital and leading business center of this Roman province of Asia, and it's where present-day Turkey is. And Ephesus was a marketplace. It was a city where the Roman governor came and heard important cases of justice. It was the location for the Pan-Ionian Games, kind of like the Olympics. And obviously, Greece was part of that, but they're kind of like big cities around the world in this day where they have these games. Hayward, the Lumberjack World Championships. Yes, we have these things. But this, the whole country would gather together in Ephesus to view these things. It was also the home of criminals. Now you say, well, what's the deal here? Well, the temple of Artemis, now that's the Greek name of the goddess Diana, which is the Latin name, who was worshipped in Ephesus and in this province and this part of the world. And it was felt that if they had committed a crime and they fled to the area of the temple there, that they would be kept from prosecution. So that's why a lot of these people fled to this area. And so guess what? There was some crime also in the area. So it was kind of a rough city as well. And so how many remember the movie Escape from New York? Do you remember that? That dates you. I remember that, where a Manhattan became a prison. And basically all the criminals were brought there and they were let to live there and treat, well, I guess, kind of live the way you want to live. If you want to be a criminal, you can live right here in this island. And anyway, so that's kind of the area around the temple here of Artemis in Ephesus. And the greatest glory of Ephesus was this temple. And next week we're going to talk about this a little more. But this temple was actually one of the seven wonders of the world. And it was beautiful. And I'm going to describe that next week. So, but it was in this setting that the Apostle Paul came and spent almost 3 years sharing the gospel. In fact, it's the place he actually stayed the longest was Ephesus. And now we see as Paul goes there, and as Rudy read this morning, it's interesting when they're talking about the if they'd heard of the Holy Spirit, and they say, well, we don't even know that there is a Holy Spirit. And this is it. Many times people get just pieces of the gospel message. They don't hear the full story. And we talked about last week about John's baptism of repentance. That was John the Baptist's message, that he was saying people needed to recognize that we're sinners and that we need to turn to God in repentance, walking away from our sinful lifestyle, turning to God for forgiveness, and as we do, walking in his ways. That's what John the Baptist's message was. And he was looking forward to the coming of Jesus, as he said, of whose sandals he was fit to untie. And he would baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so that was what these people were missing. They didn't hear that part of it. So that's where Paul shared the full gospel message with them, that Jesus has now come. He is the fulfillment. And you already got the pre-version about the blood of Christ and all that that was shed for our forgiveness. But it was that fullness of message, and that the same Holy Spirit that came upon the apostles back in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, he did the same thing in their hearts and lives of these 12 men. And it was only 12 men here. It was 120 men and women in Acts chapter 2. But here it was just 12. And what is interesting is we see God is not looking for the big crowds. In fact, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, that I am in their midst. And so God works by his Spirit in our hearts regardless of the crowd. But what he's looking at is our hearts. And these people responded, and God filled them with the Holy Spirit. And we see that as they went forward, that they impacted Ephesus. And this is what we see in every city. Paul entered the synagogue. He spoke boldly. And for 3 months there, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. And what this arguing is, it's strong. Like I'm trying to be strong in my presentation when I preach up here and all. But it's not where we're screaming and hollering at people. He just is fully explaining from the Old Testament, there was no New Testament at this time, who Jesus is and all the pieces of the puzzle that came together in the fulfillment of Christ. And many Jews did respond, as did a number of Greeks, Gentiles, as we are referred to, and people who are from a non-Jewish background responded to this. And yet many, we find this in every place that Paul goes, just refuse to believe it. And that is a part of it in all of us. There are people who will respond to the gospel, and there are people who will not. And no matter what we do, will not change how they respond. We have to leave that with God. And what is amazing, though, is the many times I have seen people who I thought would never come around, do come around. It's like, wow, it's amazing. In fact, I just got a book from one of my schoolmates back in high school. He wrote it kind of about his testimony. And Sharon, what a knucklehead he was when he was in school and all the stupid things that he got involved with. And if you'd asked me in high school, would this guy ever become a Christian? And I thought, nah, there's no way. But he has. And he wrote a book about his journey. And it's exciting. And yet, sad to say, some of the ones who I went to confirmation class with, as soon as they got done with confirmation, as soon as they got done with, quote, their training, they walked away from church, and sad to say, I know some of them have never come back. And it isn't. It's just sad. And we need to pray for people. We need to be there to, you know, try to build bridges to them and communicate with them. But you and I cannot make people believe, just as the apostles couldn't. But whoever did respond, Paul taught them. And he explained with clarity and understanding and showing them from the scriptures how everything was fulfilled. And it's interesting, as he left the synagogue, actually from 11 to 4 p.m. in Ephesus, it was kind of a hot time of day, much like the siestas in Mexico and stuff like that, where people kind of go to their homes, try to get where it's cool and take a nap. Well, this is when Paul had the opportunity, because this Hall of Tyrannus here in Ephesus was a place where a lot of philosophers were teaching and all this. Well, Paul took this time when everyone kind of backed away, and he said, hey, we have this hall available to us. Let's use this. And that is where he educated and told people about the good news of Jesus. And so as they did, they studied, they learned, they asked questions, they understood the Word of God. And that is hopefully what we are doing here as we come on Sunday mornings. And then all the Bible studies that we have and that are opening to us as a congregation, that we take the Word of God to heart and put it into practice. And so we see the evidence of the supernatural here in verses 11 through 20. I love this. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Now, how many have received some of these in the mail? Have you ever? I have. I don't know. I must be lucky here. I get people that have sent me a handkerchief or some special thing. But you know what the sad thing is? Usually, in fact, not just usually, I have never seen one that hasn't had this. The request is you need to send money in to support this ministry. That's one thing the apostles did not do. And you know, that's what's sad about a lot of the big, again, money is not what we're about. We're after something much more important than money, and that's a person's soul. And God never intended for things like this to become a marketing gimmick for someone to raise money for their ministry. And it is. It's just sad that that stuff happens. And we need to pray for people that are doing that and send those kinds of things out, because that's not what Paul was doing at all. What was obviously at work was God's Spirit, and God's Spirit was so powerfully upon Paul that as he just touched things, and he didn't even know that this wasn't something he was purposely doing, but it was something where God was working his Holy Spirit in Paul's ministry and touching people just from the items of clothing that had come in contact with Paul. Now, obviously, as stuff like this starts happening, there's always people like, "Why? I'd like to get into this." And these seven sons of Sceva here, they decide, boy, they're seeing the apostle doing these great things. So we're going to just go around and in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. What is interesting about this is these guys had never surrendered their heart to Christ. They just seen Paul saying, "Well, let's pray." And they did not follow through on the repentance, on the turning of their hearts. They were just going through the motions. And what is interesting, the demons, like, they know. And I guarantee you, God knows everyone that's his. And so do the demons know those who are truly Christ's servants. And I love the response here. In fact, this makes people, especially the American church and the Western church, gets real uncomfortable even talking about these kinds of things. Like, this stuff doesn't happen. And I can tell you from personal experience, I have prayed with many people who have spiritually been possessed and oppressed by the enemy. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute here. But the bottom line is these priests, these seven sons of Sceva, the Jewish high priest, they were not surrendered to Christ. And so I love how the demon knows. He says, "Well, Jesus I definitely know. And I know all about Paul too," because Paul had been being used by God. He said, "But who are you?" And it says the guy jumped on him and beat the living snot out of him. They ran out bloody and naked. And then it was like, whoa, all of a sudden people realize there is power in Jesus' name, because as the Apostle Paul did this, that did not happen. That did not happen to the Apostle Paul. When we have Christ in us, Scripture tells us we're not to fear. Now, we're not to, in fact, sad to say, some take this and they go running around looking like they're chasing demons. That's not what we're called to do either. We're told to draw near to God, and as we draw near to him, the devil will flee from us. And yet, Scripture is very clear. He confronts us. He tries to stop us. He tries to work against us. And Paul said, we're not unaware of his schemes. And what we're told to do is to fight the good fight of faith. And though the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, it's not physically fighting anybody, but our weapons are what? They're prayer. They're praise. Just what we were doing this morning. We're praying. We're praising. We're living out our faith. That is the weapons of our warfare. Now, there are times when the apostles were persecuted and eventually killed for their faith. It doesn't mean that we're spared from the problems of life. But what we find is the presence of God's Holy Spirit with us, working in us through each and every situation. And as we walk with God, his power is at work within us. And he does use us. It is exciting to see how people are willing to be used. You know, we had 21 people at our class last Sunday night and for the beginning of this, and we had four churches, our church and three other churches, the River Church in Minong, the Church of Love and Compassion out at LCO, and the Assembly of God Church also down on Highway 70 there. People from those churches wanting to be trained for ministry and wanting... And some young people as well. It's like, yes. In fact, Abby Drabeck, who just went to, she was one of the three, so we'll have 24 when everyone's in there. She was unable to come because she had a food, poisoning last week. And so she was in the hospital and wasn't able to come. But she's going to be a part of that. And another young girl from out here at LCO that is feeling called to ministry. It is exciting to see that. And Mike did such an awesome job of presenting things. And so next week we begin going through our first class. And that was an introductory class. And it is exciting to see what is going on in the Hayward area and us working together. But as we see these passages of Scripture, They do. There's a lot of things that freak people out, and that's not what this is about this morning. But as I mentioned, there is power in Jesus' name. If you'll notice, and we talk about this a lot, the emphasis of some of the laws that have been talked of being passed, in fact, in our military, and now I understand it has been rescinded, that chaplains were told that they could not pray in Jesus' name. Now, isn't that interesting? We see in the New Testament church the same thing. The religious leaders were commanding the apostles to quit preaching and teaching in Jesus' name. You can talk about anyone else. That's okay. Just don't talk about Jesus. You ever think, why is that? Why is it that Jesus is in the crosshairs of all this opposition? And again, it's a spiritual reason. And the people involved in this, the people passing these laws, the people that are so upset, if you ask them about Islam, oh, that's okay, you can do whatever you want with Islam or Buddhism or Hinduism. That's all. We respect that, but we will not respect Jesus. And I tell you, the reason is because Satan knows that there is no other name given under heaven whereby men may be saved. And the apostles knew that too. And you and I need to know that, that there is power in Jesus' name. And that's why we end our prayers in Jesus' name, because there is a power that goes forth. And Scripture brings out Daniel, even in the Old Testament, before Jesus came. It says that there are spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly realms, and we don't understand all of that. But it says the day that Daniel began to pray, a message of answer was given. But it says for 21 days there was a prince in Persia, a satanic prince that had power that resisted the answer that was being given to Daniel. And it was through as Daniel continued to pray, eventually that answer came through. And Daniel had revelation and understanding that is recorded for us in the book of Daniel. And we need to take that to heart. And why? Don't give up in your prayers. Don't give up for any person, no matter how bad or how evil they are. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on all the nice people that are out there that don't believe in Jesus. Keep praying for them. Keep mentioning their names before God's throne of grace and mercy, and praying that their eyes are opened. Last night it was so awesome. I've been working with an individual just for a few days, and actually two of them, and they came to church last night. And it was so neat. In fact, Kathy saw it. This man cried the whole service. He cried because he felt the presence of God. He felt, and he really was having trouble with life, and it was so neat to see God's Spirit just melting him and just weeping, and we prayed for him, and it was awesome. It's that. That's the stuff I live for. I live for this guy, and he said he wants to start coming to church, and he's going to come on Saturdays. And but it is. It's just awesome to see what God is doing. And God wants to use each and every one of us. So don't give up. There are all the scriptures that talk about to not grow weary in well-doing. The reason they're there is because it is our tendency to grow weary in well-doing. Sometimes we don't see a harvest. Sometimes we don't see people respond the way we'd like them to, but we're told not to give up, to keep up the good work, to fight the good fight of faith. And as we do, we find the scriptures that God has not given us a spirit of fear. We're not afraid of the things coming on the world, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the power of the Holy Spirit here, and I've referred to this many times, is that Greek word dunamis. It's the dynamite power of God's Spirit. It was so evident in the apostles' lives, evident in the New Testament church, that people were being used powerfully by God. And do you think that power is still available to us today? Yeah, it is. The power of God's Holy Spirit is here for each and every one of us. And how we get this is by presenting ourselves as living sacrifices. That means totally and completely surrendered to God. That doesn't mean that all of you are going to become preachers and teachers, but it means whatever lot in life you're at, wherever you're at, if you're retired, if you're still working, you are Christ's ambassador wherever you are, out in the marketplace, out in volunteering anywhere, that you are Christ's representative, and he wants to work in and through you. know that. And this is what the apostles did. They understood, as Peter said, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. That's what the seven sons of Sceva did not have, was the knowledge of him. They knew all about Jesus. They knew the power that was being used by Paul that was in Jesus' name, but they did not know him personally. That's the difference. If they would have known him personally, there would have been no problem in their casting out of this spirit. And so we see the importance of us having relationship with God. And it's not based on anything I can do for you or you can do for me. It's our personal walk. And that's why we encourage people to pray from their hearts. You don't need to call a pastor to pray for you. We need to stand for each other and support each other. And yes, stand beside and encourage one another. But know that you have just as much power before God as any pastor or any priest. Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, as we surrender as his servants, gives life to you and lives in you as he does in me or any other pastor or preacher around. So be encouraged this morning that God, who worked in the lives of the apostles, will work in and through us. And we see Paul here healing the sick, even through the articles that were touched by him. And I already went into that. The power of Jesus' name, it's not in us. It's not anything that I have done or anything that anyone, when we see these. In fact, I have a good friend right now in Siren. We played. In fact, Bob, who was just here, was a missionary to the Republic of Georgia and the former Soviet Union. Another guy on our basketball team is pastoring over here in Siren. In fact, I'm thinking of having him come over because he has got miracles happening in the ministry, and his church is packed. In fact, they're meeting in the high school now because the church can't hold them anymore. There's so many people coming because miracles are happening in their services. And so I talked to him on the phone here a little bit a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, I'm going to try to get him to come over here and just to hear what God is doing over in Siren, just 50 miles away from Hayward here. And it is, it's exciting. And we see that the power of Jesus is here for us today. It's not just for the New Testament church and just way back when. It's for us today. And as people responded fully, turning away from sin, sorcery, New Age practices, horoscopes, magic charms, they got rid of all the books that teach spiritually deceiving and ensnaring subjects. That's what was happening here in Ephesus. In fact, the 50 drachmas, you might think, what in the world is a drachma? And a drachma was a silver coin that was worth about a day's wages. So this is what I did. I took, all right, let's put it in today's terms. A day's wages, let's just put it at $100 a day's wage today. And guess what? How many millions of dollars that would amount to? 50,000. See, someone's quick on their math here. It'd be $5 million in today's standards of how much money those items were, quote, worth, that these people said, man, I don't want this garbage dragging me down and snaring me. They recognized who Jesus is, and they turned with a whole heart. And that's what repentance is. It's turning to God with everything that's within us, and as we do, he does powerfully use us. And that's what Jesus said when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming, and where he was baptizing, and I said, Jesus, it was John the Baptist. He said, you brood of vipers. That wasn't very inviting, was it? Who warned you to flee the coming wrath? He said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And that's it. When we truly repent, there is fruit. God notices, not just God, but people begin to notice. You're changed. You're not as mean and angry as you used to be. You don't cuss, swear, and holler. It doesn't mean that you never cuss, because there's times I've cussed too in situations. It's like, oof, not good. Not good. And again, God isn't up there keeping record and like zapping us when we not at all. But he knows. In fact, that's why James says, if we're at no fault in what we say, then we're perfect. And guess what? None of us are perfect. We all have made mistakes. But the thing is that I don't say, oh, I'm okay because I'm a pastor. That's excusable. No, it's not. It's not excusable. So I turn from that. And as I do, that's the fruit of repentance, because I'm demonstrating by my actions that maybe I used to, and believe me, I can't remember the last time that I did do that. But God, I sure does. Although, you know what Scripture says? God does not remember. As far as the east is from the west, he forgets. We're the ones that remember. We're the ones, I can remember times in my life where I got mad and let it fly, and it was not good. And but the good thing is that God takes, by his Spirit, works in us. The blood of Christ is our cleansing. It is our forgiveness. And as we surrender, he changes us. He transforms us into the servants that he wants us to be. And he uses us all. Every age, every background, everything that's about us here this morning. So know God wants to use you.